He's a coach. He's a broadcaster. He's Drew Remenda.
Welcome to The Art of Coaching, a new show on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. I am Drew Remenda, and we're going to talk to coaches about coaching, and who better to talk to than first-year head coach of the San Jose Sharks, brand new head coach, great Ryan Warsawski. Ryan, thank you for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Drew. Good to see you here. And you know, I think we're just a little bit over a month away here to get going, so I'm excited.
I was going to ask you, as a coach, doesn't matter if you're assistant coach or head coach, but more pressure, of course, than the head coach. Your summers, are they ever a summer off?
No, because you're always trying to learn and get better and improve. And you reflect on, you know, last year, and you start thinking about next year. So your brain, you try to get your brain to shut off, as you probably know from being a coach, but it's difficult. And as I get older and get more experience, I've gotten a little bit better at that, of trying to escape the game a little bit, because I think it's really important for mental health and to be present with your family. So it's something that I've really been trying to work on the last few years. And obviously, in my career, I've, you know, it feels like every 2 years I'm moving and getting a new job. So I haven't had that, you know, that relaxation period as long as I wanted it to be. But right now, this is an exciting moment in my career. And I've had some good times this summer to reflect and enjoy the moment. And then, you know, obviously times where I'm my head hits the pillow and I'm starting to think and starting to check the boxes that would need to be done. So it is what it is. It's what we signed up for.
So why coaching?
You know, I think I just fell in love with it. I've said it a few times. I've been around, you know, Mike Sullivan when he was at Providence in Boston back in, you know, the early 2000s, late 90s, and followed his career. And it's something that I kind of gravitated towards. I loved the preparation. I love the game planning. I love, you know, a tough loss and coming back the next night and trying to make adjustments to improve your team. I love the individual concept of seeing players reach their goals. And like I said in my press conference, I love a locker room filled with excitement and energy of a big win, of hard work, and guys are icing down, and the effort that it takes, it's hard to win. And when you can get that, you know, that's that gratification of a win, it's more of a relief, and then you get ready for the next one. But you know, I just fell in love with it. I love all aspects of it. And you know, I think it's been important, you know, part of my life is coaching and following it since I was, you know, 16, 17 years old. And now here I am coaching the National Hockey League.
You've been an assistant coach and now a head coach. You've done that in every step of your coaching career. What are the differences from a head assistant coach to a head coach? I know there's obviously, when I was a good assistant coach because I was very task oriented, but I wasn't a good head coach. I think a head coach has to be able to look big picture, and a head coach has to also be in the moment. For you, what are the differences that are key in an assistant coach being able to be a good head coach?
Yeah, I think, you know, as an assistant coach, you know, you're a suggestion maker. As a head coach, you're a decision maker. So, you know, like you said, I've been through it. I know that as a head coach, all eyes are on you. Whether you win or lose, whether you make a certain decision, you challenge a call, at the end of the day, it's on you. And I understand that responsibility. You know, I think it's an important, that you have to have understanding of that. And, you know, I'm comfortable making those decisions, those tough decisions. I always say, any decision I make as a head coach, there's going to be a reason behind it, whether that's, you know, taking a player out of the lineup, not playing him, starting a certain power play, certain PK sets, running a certain face-off. There's a reason, but with every decision that we're going to make as a hockey club, we'll be, you know, extremely prepared for that. But I think that as a head coach, you just can't shoot from the hip. You got to be prepared for certain situations. You know, expect the unexpected at times. And like you said, I've had experience doing this now, so I feel really comfortable more than probably ever before. And those other, you know, instances in South Carolina and Charlotte. So I'm excited. I think I have a good feel for this group and what it needs. And like I said, I can't be more excited about where the future of this team is going. The younger players, the older players and character guys that we have coming back, I think guys are excited. And there's going to be some tough moments. There's going to be some ups and downs, and we have to understand that. And there's going to be some adversity, and but we have to stick together, and that's going to be my biggest, the biggest goal here going forward.
One of the things we hear a lot about in sports, and I don't even know, I've been around for a long time and I'm not even sure I can define it properly. Culture. You need to have a winning culture. You need this sort of culture in order to be successful. What is culture?
I think the biggest thing, when you have a good culture, your players run the culture. It's not me. It's the players that are doing it. It's Macklin Celebrini or Will Smith or Luke Cunningham or Matt Benning saying, no, this is how we do it here. And I've done a lot of homework, not just in the National Hockey League, about, NFL and teams that have won in San Francisco and the Patriots and the NBA with Boston Celtics and Joe Mazzulla. I've done a lot of homework this summer of creating that culture. And that's a great word. And I'm not going to be the one guy that comes in there and change the culture. There's going to be a lot of people in there. There's Mike Greer, was Ryan Klo now. There's my assistant coaches. And now we have some great players that Mike's brought in. So that culture is going to be built over time. But at the end of the day, when you have that championship culture, that's built from the players. The foundation has been built over these next few years and even the last few years, even though we've had some tough times, there's been some steps that have been made. Individually, there's been some learning progress that we know we can, things that we can't do. But at the end of the day, a championship culture is going to be something that's built by the players. And I would say, every team that's won a championship, there's a player or a group of leaders in there that have kind of driven that culture from off-season workouts to after a tough meeting to after a tough practice to having captain's practices throughout the summer. So that's my goal is for one day. That the next generation of Sharks are leading that championship culture isn't the bigger, aspect that we're looking at.
But do you and your coaching staff and Mike, do you guys have to set that bar, so to speak, to start? This is where we are. And eventually it can't be about you, as you said, the handoff, or does it happen organically?
No, I think there's going to be, and we can throw out all these words. We can throw out
Right.
competitive effort, whatever it might be, character. My biggest thing is we need to be more competitive. Like the damn bar is at the ground right now. The bar needs to get off the ground. And then when we get it off the ground, we'll get it on our shoulders and then we'll raise it above our shoulders. But it's going to take a process to get there. My biggest thing is as a coach and for this group is we need to be more competitive in everything we do in our summer workouts, in our off-season skates, in our skate tests, in our practices, in our ping pong game in the locker room. And an off day in Fort Lauderdale on the beach, we're playing beach volleyball. I want to see who is most competitive. That is the bottom line. This league is too competitive. If you're not competitive, you'll get pushed right out. And I think with that comes character. With that comes, people that are self-driven. So there's some things that I believe in that to get that culture started. The number one thing is going to be competitiveness, and you'll see that throughout the year.
See, I'm glad you said that, because one of the things that bothers me, or bothered me, is the fact of the Sharks weren't very good the last previous years. And there was, and maybe I'm wrong about it. If I am, please tell me so, that there was an acceptance of, we're not very good. And I'll go back to 100 years ago when I was coaching. We lost 71 games the year before in San Jose. 71 out of 84, because they played 84 that year. Kevin Constantine came in as a new head coach, and he said to the first meeting of training camp, "We're not here to be respected. We're not here to try. We're here to win. We are here to make the playoffs. We're here to shock the hockey world." I'm glad you said that, because competitiveness, really, from my idea, is that's your base. That's the must. That's got to be your number one trait. Would I be
100%.
wrong on that we've
Yeah,
been
100%.
accepting the
And you can't, don't tell me you're competitive. Show me you're
right?
competitive. That's a big, that like everyone says, oh, I'm really competitive. Yeah, we all are. Okay. But I want to see how competitive you are. And a Tuesday afternoon at, on a volleyball court, on a Tuesday practice, on a Thursday night game in Ottawa when there's not a full building, show me how competitive you are. So, 100%, the foundation is there, and you're right. The acceptance, it won't be accepted anymore. It's just it, the way I am, the way our staff is built, the people that we've brought in. I know Mike is on the same page as me too. Of You know, this can't be an acceptance of, oh, we're going to be 3, 4, 5 years away. No, no, no. We're going to get the respect back in the National Hockey League. It's flat out embarrassing. The teams come into our building and say it was an easy game to play against. You know, and that will be the biggest thing for me is win or lose, we're going to make sure teams leave our building or we leave a team's building saying, damn, that is a tough team to play against. Damn, we got to play them again next week. And we didn't have that the last couple of years. For numerous reasons, that's not coach driven. That's not, you know, any shot at anyone. That's just, you know, where we were as an organization. But 100%, that needs to change, and that will be my biggest goal.
So, it brings me to my next question: identity. We hear that one a lot too, and obviously, the number one identity we're going to have just by that conversation is going to be a team that is competitive. When I hear teams talk about identity. What is it to you? Doesn't an identity need to be something that every guy can do?
I think, obviously, every coach is going to say, we want to be the hardest working team in the league.
Right.
Okay. And we don't have a choice. The San Jose Sharks do not have one choice but to be the hardest working team and most structured team in the league. Because if we're not, we're going to get the 10-1 games. We're going to get the 7-1 games. That just... the elephant in the room, let's be honest, right? We're not there yet. So we have to be the hardest working team in the league. We have to be structured. We have to be detailed. There's going to be mistakes made, but I want to see your mistakes made with effort and the right process to those, you know, issues at hand. So, you know, we need to have a process of where we want to get to, but there can't be a, we're really good on a Tuesday in Montreal and then in Toronto on Thursday, we're shit. It just can't happen. We're going to be struggling. It's going to be an uphill battle. Now, by saying that, the identity of our team comes from competitiveness and then us being together as a group. Like, we all have to be on the same page. Coaches, management, trainers, media, like, we all have to be pulling the rope. And I always say everything's contagious. If our trainers are being negative, it's going to leak right into our room. If the coaches are being negative, if there's three guys in the fourth line that are being negative, it's going to lead up to the top six. So we need to have some positive energy. We need to stick together as a group. That doesn't mean our roster. That means our management. That means you guys in the media. That means everyone that's on that damn plane at the end of a game is saying, you know, we're all in this together and everyone's important up to get to where we want to get to. So that identity comes, you know, as the season goes on and the foundation will build in training camp. But I think it'll be very clear when you watch our team, what the identity is going to be.
I like that. You know, Paul Maurice said during the playoffs, he was talking about after the game, it wasn't during the finals, but it was after the game, he walked out, which he usually does, says something, and then he heard here's the big cheer. And it was a bigger cheer than normally, you know, you hand out the hard hat or whatever it happens to be. And he thought, I'm going to walk back in there and find out what that was about. Well, it was about Jonah Gadjevich coming back in after his wife had the babies and it was kind of a trying pregnancy, and the guys were just happy to see him. And Paul Maurice said, it's not just about the guys on the ice.
Yeah.
It's about everybody. So I'm glad you said that. So how do you, or do you have to, or as a matter of what you said before, the team, build that inclusion that everybody matters?
Yeah, I think it comes with communication. It comes with relationships with your players. It comes with relationships with the staff. It comes with relationships with the media and the management and whoever is involved with our team, and make sure everyone's respected and everyone feels like they have a piece of the pie. And we're not going to get anywhere if we have 60% of our team and organization in. We're not going to get anywhere if 70% or 80%. It needs to be a damn 100% of everyone in, of pulling the rope and pulling, you know, driving the boat the right way. And if we get guys steering off going different ways, this is going to be a longer years of process. It just is what it is. I know that for a fact because, you know, I'm not sitting, I know I've won a couple championships, but the reason we won those championships is because, you know, we had guys who were out of the lineup that should be in the lineup that said, you know what, this is what's best for the team. I'm all in. I'm going to work as hard as I can in practice to make sure I'm ready if there's an injury. I'll never forget it. Chris Biegris, you know, he was an AHL veteran, played NHL games. We had no injuries in the playoffs for whatever reason, Chicago. We go on and win a championship. I remember he didn't play one game. And I felt so bad because he should have been in the lineup. He really should have. We just had our 60 were rolling. We liked our matchups. And he said, "Worse, I'm good. It's fine. I get it." And I just felt so bad for him because I understand as an individual, guys have individual goals. Guys want to be playing. Guys want to score goals. Guys want to get assists. Guys want to get points. That's how they get money. This generation wants money and they want days off. That's a fact. I understand that. So if you understand the individual, you know, the individual has goals and needs and wants, and you need to act like that's real. That is real. Like, so you have to understand that and respect that and have that relationship and communication with them. And, you know, I remember sitting in front of the whole group. I said, this kid should be in Chris Beeger should be on our team right now, playing some big minutes, shutting down, 6'3", can skate. He's long. And he's just not in. And I think if, to your point about Johan, you know, Gajovic in Florida, and I'm sure there's plenty of guys in that team that sacrificed and said, you know, whatever is best for the team. And that's what winning, and that's what championship teams do. So we got to get to that point. It's going to be a process, but I really truly believe we'll get there sooner than people believe.
So how do you balance that with a player then? I mean, players are, you're a young guy, which I think gives you an advantage. But players are young, crazy young now. And I would look at it, and I was talking to John Tortorella about the same type of thing. And John being John, you know, he said today's players, and this is not, wasn't an insult, but they're spoiled and they're entitled, and sometimes difficult to get them to understand the bigger team picture. So how do you balance that, being a young coach, trying to get these guys to understand there is an advantage to do what I need you to do what we need you to do in order for us to be successful? There will be an individual advantage for you.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, if you have team success, individual success comes with that. You look at guys that have won championships, guys that have had career years,
right?
They were on good teams. It's because they went on to conference finals. They went to the finals. They went deep in the playoff. You know, they had these great years because the team had success. And everyone talks about this generation, and I agree. But if we fight this generation of what they are, we're going to spin our wheels here. Right. So we have to accept what that's what they are. That's who they are. And it doesn't mean that's the right way. But at the end of the day, I know if they know I'm coming from a good place and I'm going to care about these guys, you know, like their parents, then I can push them and I can challenge them. And you know, so I think this generation has a tough time believing themselves at time. I think they believe that they should just be 30 goal scorers instead of 40 goal scorers. They think they should be a 15 goal scorer instead of 25. So I'm going to push them and challenge them to be better than they believe. And, you know, I think if you care about this generation, you can push them in certain ways. But I think if you challenge this generation in different ways of the old school, and listen, I'm a little bit old school my way too. You'll see me a little intense and I get a little fiery at times and probably a little bit too much, and something that I'm working on. But if you try to fight that, we're going to be spinning our wheels here. We're too young of a group. We're you know, like, so I'm not, I really relate with that group quite a bit. I've already had a lot of talks with those younger guys, and you know, it takes some time. They'll take some time for us to, you know, for them to trust me and me to trust them. And at the end of the day, I remember Bill Belichick said, we put the players in the field that we trust the most, and it'll be the same thing as hockey.
So when we're talking about that, and you bring up how fiery you are, but I watch you on the bench, and there's an intensity there for sure, but I'm amazed at how composed you are. Now, from an assistant coach to a head coach, you know, there are differences. Yeah. As you said, the buck stops with you. But is that something that you've had to work on? Is that something that you've had to try to keep it in? And why is that important to have that stoicism?
Yeah, I've had to work on that a lot over the years. It's probably the biggest thing I've worked on is, like, I'm ultra competitive. I wear it on my sleeve. I want this group to do well. It's not because I'm against the group. It's because I'm right there with them. You know, when a guy takes a cheap shot, I get mad. I get fired up because I want to protect our guys. And, you know, there's times that I've, you know, barked at refs, and that's something I'll continue to work on and improve. And I've watched and other coaches through the years get better at that. And the Sullivans and Torts and, you know, and even Carbs there in Washington this year, just how he approached it. So, at the end of the day too, that can feed into your group. What does your group need? That at the end of the day, that's most important. There's going to be times where our group might need a little push in a certain way of intensity. You saw Paul Maurice, he does it a lot, and it's
Yeah.
he looks like he's mad at him, but I don't think he's mad at him. He's trying to motivate him and push him a little bit. He still loves him and cares about him, but so I would say I'm probably similar in that way. But it's something I've really had to work on a lot, you know, and especially you get to National Hockey League, there's more cameras, there's more you
Yeah.
know, eyes
If
on
you
you.
get
So
scored on, if you get scored on, the camera's coming right on you all
yeah. So I gotta make sure
the
I'm you know, keeping it stoic.
Dave Tippett, when I was broadcasting in Edmonton, Dave Tippett came up to me after and he goes, "Why do you guys always put the camera on me after they score against us?" And I said, "Well, first off, that's not my call, but why was it? Why is that bother you?" He goes, "Because you know what I say after they score against us, and my mom calls me and says, 'David, why do you keep swearing on
That'll probably
the
happen. That'll probably happen at least a couple times
bench?"
this year.
You talked about practice, and I am a big believer in precision when it comes to practices. Talk to me about the importance of practice and Ryan Warsofsky's non-negotiables when it comes to practice.
The biggest thing, and what I've noticed is coming to San Jose, is we don't get to practice a lot, especially in the
No.
National League. That so San Jose's travel, the National Hockey League is a game-driven league. So when we practice, we need to really dial it in. We got to make sure as coaches that we have a great game plan of how we want to practice, what we want to practice, the preparation. We're not wasting time at the board. We're not, you know, our the this gen again going back this generation, their time mental focus is very limited. So we need to make sure when we get them in on the ice, 40-minute practice, 35 minutes, 65 minutes, whatever that might be, it's detailed down to the minute. Now saying that, we only have, well, I think last year we had 59 practices. That's not a lot of practices. So we really need to make sure what we are practicing is extremely dialed in. I've done a lot of homework with this summer of, you know, do you do different drills? Do you do the same drills? So that's something that we've talked a lot about, of making sure, you know, is it where we can just go out there and say one, two, word, this is the drill name, boom, we get the guys know where they're going. Or do we, if we do new drills, we gotta go to the board, we gotta explain it, we gotta have a meeting before practice, you're wasting time. So the biggest thing for me in my practices is we can't waste time. And the non-negotiables is our practice habits become game reality. So if we're gonna, as a young group, if we're practicing with crappy habits, that is, I know it's coming to the game. The old
Sure.
say, "Oh, I'm a gamer," that's a one percenters. You know, those are the one percenters. It's not true. So we need to practice like it's a game, and everyone coach says that. But everything we do, and I thought Quinny did a pretty good job of that too. Of, you know, we had hard practices, and we have good pace in our practices. But we got to be really, really efficient with our practices, whether we're practicing structure, special teams, our team identity. And we just got to have some predictability. I would say it was going to be the biggest change in our practices.
One of the things that was told to me why you were one of the guy that they Mike Greer and Hasso Plattner picked was because of the style of play you want the team to play. First of all, maybe discuss how you want the team to play, and then I have a follow-up for you.
Yeah, so you know, I want to be aggressive. You know, I think you see teams that are winning right now. They're aggressive on the forecheck. They're aggressive on their reloads for without the puck. They close quickly. They get numbers around the puck. I think the biggest thing is they're predictable. You know, you want to play fast, think less. So we're going to practice, and we're going to, you know, have routes, and we're going to be very predictable in the way you practice. So then when the game starts, when Henry Thrun goes back for a puck, he knows what he's doing with it. There's not three or four reads he needs to make. There's one or two reads he needs to make, and now it's just predictable and what he wants to do and make that puck decision. So just being a little bit more predictable. But we're gonna hunt pucks. We're gonna get on teams. We're gonna be tough to play against. You know, I feel like every coach says that in the offseason, and it's gonna be
Yes.
up to us coaches to go do it. Look, I learned a lot from Rod Brind'Amour. I love the way they play. There'll be some changes, you know, from what him and I, but you know, I learned a lot from him in the way how, if you watch his teams, their effort is through the roof. You know, you watch, you know, the Florida Panthers and Paul Maurice and his teams, And I've rewatched that whole Stanley Cup final is, you know, their effort. And I know it's the playoffs, but you go back to their game, and I watched their game early in the season, I think eight, game eight of last year, Florida. Like, there's not a sold out building, and they're just coming and coming in waves and waves, and now you've created the momentum. So this game is of a game momentum. When we have the momentum, we're gonna step on teams' throats, and then when we don't have it, we got to simplify our game a little bit. And I thought last year we had momentum, but we didn't keep jamming it down, rolling over our lines and playing with predictability. And then when we didn't have the momentum, we tried to do something crazy, and then it's in the back of our net, and the game would get out of hand. So we have to have an understanding of where the game is as a group and as a staff, and make sure we're relaying those messages. But the biggest thing is we just have to be far more predictable in how we play. And I think, you know, once we do that, you'll see some big changes in our structure.
So then that style of play, how do you get the players to one, not only accept it, but want to play that way? And when do you, as a coach, have to say to say Tyler Toffoli or Logan Couture or Luke Cunningham or Mario Ferraro, hey, you guys got to get, you got to help me out here. Get
Yeah,
these guys. It can't
100%.
be, it can't be about you all the time.
Yeah, 100%. It can't just be my voice in there after every game and period. Like, it's my voice is gonna get old. So I'm gonna lead on this leadership group of, you know, not just guys that are wearing letters on their jersey, but, you know, Luke Cunnans, the Bennings, you know, Logan, Toffoli, you know, the newer guys, and Granny and Mario, like you said. So those guys are gonna be, you know, I'm gonna meet with them quite a bit, you know, probably once a week at times, and they'll probably want to get sick of me too, but I need to have a feel what the group's feeling. You know, I need to have a feel like, hey, Wars, we're exhausted today. We got nothing to think. And, you know, there might be times where I say, okay, I'll take you. And then, but here's the deal. I'll give you today off, but tomorrow we better be ready to go. So they're not going to run the inmates, not run the asylum,
Right.
but these guys have to have a voice in the group and in the team and the direction of the team. And hey, we can't do this. We don't like it. Or hey, we're confused in this. Okay, why are we confused? Let's figure it out as a group why we're confused in our D zone or in our neutral zone, whatever it might be. So I'm gonna lean on those guys quite a bit, you know, the guys that have been around a long time, and have won a lot, and Granlunds and Vlasics and Cooch and Toffolis have won, you know. So those guys are really, really important for me as a first year head coach to lean on them. You know, Doug Hood and Wise and their staff are also guys that have been around and won. So we all just have to pull the rope, like I said, and we can't have this, you know, I did it this way and it worked. Like, we all have to have the
Right.
respect factor of, hey, this is what we did in Boston, it really worked. This is what I did in Michigan. So we just have to have, and I think so far we've you know, we met a lot at development camp and had some Zoom calls. We're all on the same page of what needs to be done, and we're excited. I think we're really up to the task.
Have you given yourself a chance to? I know you got a lot on your plate, but have you given yourself a chance to think about first game walking on the bench as a head coach in the National Hockey League? And when you, if you do, who do you think about that helped you get to where you are now?
Honestly, I haven't like thought about it, to be honest. I'm very day by day driven, and you guys are going to be so sick of me because I'm going to say it. We're focused on today. And as a group, I think that's where you get in trouble, is if we start focusing on November's road trip, December's
Right.
break, All-Star break, the World Cup break, trade, this thing's going to get out of control. We just got to be, you know, really close-minded and focused on our first practice. That's me included. You know, at some point, I'm sure it will hit me when I walk on that bench. And you reflect, and the puck will drop, and you move forward. But yeah, there's an emotional time that you saw me at my press conference. It was emotional to get the job, and there'll be emotional times throughout the season. That first game will be one, but I honestly haven't really thought about that. You know, it hit me a little bit at the draft, being on the draft floor. That was a really cool moment to sit around and be with the other coaches and around the draft and all the clinics that were going on. So, but I'm very nearsighted and really focused on, you know, I'm focused on today. I got to make some phone calls and talk to some players today. That's kind of what my future looks like.
Well, Jimbo Fisher, football, be where your feet are.
Yeah, 100%. You'll hear me say that a lot.
Ryan, thank you very much. Outstanding stuff. I am so happy for you. I think it's going to be a great year for the San Jose Sharks.
Thanks, Drew. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify, and on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.